During the last week, Titus had shared a little story about a person called David Ring. It encouraged me. Sometimes the testimony, the life of people stir us up. The story is like this in brief. His dad died when he was 10 years old. His mummy died after another 4 years. So by the time he was 14, he lost both his father and mother. He was an orphan. And to compound the problem, he was born with a terrible sickness called cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy. Some of you can understand the meaning of that. Cerebral palsy. He can hardly speak, struggle to speak. He cannot coordinate things. The way... So people would, sometimes such people in the talk, people ridicule him, despise, especially children. So with that problem he lived as an orphan. And another thing he remembered about his mom, having this problem, he thought the only woman in the earth who would love him is only his mom. But he lost his mom also. So he was terribly broken and devastated. But his sister encouraged him to trust in the Lord, to commit his life to Jesus. So he surrendered his life and God restored him. And he went back to school from where he dropped out. And he came back to it. And God used him in amazing ways. With that disability, with that sickness called cerebral palsy. I'm not sure whether rightly pronounced. So two things what he told is one thing he told, he was living with this sickness, struggling with that sickness. So he was telling, but at the same time he was saved, he got the joy of salvation. And he did not allow this limitation, this physical ailment to limit him, make him fruitless. So one thing he told is, I have cerebral palsy, but cerebral palsy have not me. You understand the meaning? I have cerebral palsy, but the cerebral palsy have not me. I have this problem, but I am not allowing cerebral palsy, the sickness called cerebral, to conquer me. Means I am above it. Even though I have that problem, limitations, I can live above it. So it's a wonderful, challenging declaration. I have cerebral palsy. Well, cerebral palsy don't have me. Can we say that? We may have different type of physical disabilities, limitations, or different ways, but none of those things should conquer us, defeat us. Still, we can live a victorious life, a fruitful life. And another thing he told is like this. I am serving the Lord fruitfully with my cerebral palsy. What are you doing? He wanted to challenge people who are lazy, who are not faithful to their Christian faith, who are not loyal to the Lord, who live a kind of life. So he is challenging them. I live my life, a faithful life, do the Lord's work with my, along, even though I have this disability, with my cerebral palsy, what are you doing? It's a good thing to challenge. I was challenged really. A man with such a limitation would glorify God. What possibly we have on hardly anyone has any physical disability. But even if we have certain limitations, that is not an excuse for living a defeated Christian life. And let it be challenge our own life. I was remembering when God wanted a person to negotiate with the emperor Pharaoh to liberate his people. You know, God chose whom? God chose a stammerer, a person, Moses, who was having stammering tongue. He could not speak. And Moses was very conscious about it. And when God wanted to persuade him, Moses was trying to shy away. Lord, please send my brother Aaron. He can speak better. I have a stammering tongue. But God asked him, who gave tongues to man? Who gave? Is not me, Jehovah. It's something which can encourage us. So our failures, our circumstantial limitations should not be, we should not allow them to defeat us. withdraw from life and having self-pity on ourselves and live a fruitful, backward-walking life. That is what God wants us to. So let the life of David really challenge us. Whatever may be our circumstantial limitation, God wants us to see it is not having me. I have that problem, but cerebral palsy is not having me. So we can put that cerebral palsy, our circumstances. We can say this, declare this. I have this problem, but I am not going to be conquered, overcome by those situations. I want to be effective, fruitful for the Lord. So especially what encouraged me in that is, he was singing a song of hope, how he was looking forward for the second coming of Christ. Some of the words are so touching. Maybe we can sing that next. So the words I remember something like, what a day that shall be, what a glorious day. He was not able to sing, but he's trying to pick up words. And so when he remembers the second coming of the Lord, and the Lord will come again and restore me, and I'll be taken up, and I have a redemption, and there is no sickness there, there's no sorrow there, there's no tears there, there's no problems, there's no temptation there. That thought is something which really stirs us up. I just want to share some thoughts in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus told in Matthew chapter 24, verse 33. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Jesus is talking about his coming. When we see the developments in this world, and we can see he is coming, he is near, right at the door. And verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, but nor even angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. But we do not know for exactly, very precisely, which day Jesus will come again. But, so, when you think about this, there can be two responses in us, different people. When you think about the truth of the Lord's coming again, there can be two kind of responses. So one kind of response is, in the same place Jesus said, verse 37 to 39, for the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving for marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the Son of Man will be. So one kind of response could be what happened to majority of people at the time of Noah. What was their response when Noah started building? They were all seeing Noah building, there are something unusual. Noah's telling a flood is going to come. But we know most of the people responded in a very passive way. They did not bother. Probably they teased him. What are you talking about? I'm not interested. So that way, a very passive, a negative approach, showing a disinterest in all those things what Noah spoke. And they were having their own routine life, settled, thinking that the earthly life here, enjoying the things here, is the ultimate, nothing beyond. And that was the response of the people of Noah. And Jesus is telling, this will be one response when at his coming also. How many people responded at the time Noah. That will be the response of many, many people at the second coming of Christ. And disinterest, not worried about it, ignorant about it, and doing a routine life, thinking that there is nothing beyond our present life, enjoying what we have, and be our mind only revolving around the earthly things. That was what happened to the during the time of Noah. And Jesus said, this is what going to be. So it's something to ask ourselves. How is our response? And we read in the 40 and 41, there shall be two men in the field, one will be taken away and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will left. It's an interesting thing, you know, externally looking similar, but people who were taken were few. From two women were grinding, only two, one was taken. So something inside, and it's an interesting picture how at the second coming of the Lord, some people will be taken, some people will not be taken. And so Jesus encouraged them in verse 42. Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know which day our Lord is coming. So this one thing Jesus told, be on alert. We do not know which day the Lord is coming. So it's something we can ask ourselves. Are we that kind of people during the time of Noah? This especially can be true about people who have an easy life. We have enough money. We have a comfortable life. And we tend to just, because we may be coming for Sunday meeting, prayer meeting and everything, but actually our mind is just dwelling in the earthly thing. We have no hope beyond that. We have no hope beyond interest, beyond that comfortable life. And we are not willing to little take any suffering or inconvenience or paying a cost for the cause of Christ. So such people, tendency could be, we may not be interested in all this. So that is a dangerous situation. During the time of Noah, it is written, they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So something to awaken ourselves. What is our response? Are we in that danger of, in that passive kind of thinking, not interested in all those, just interested only living a comfortable and easy life now? And I'm not willing to be challenged. I'm not willing to wake up. I'm not willing to alert. So it's good to ask ourselves. But over the ages, there was another group of people. The very thought of the Lord's coming is a tremendous encouragement for them. They are really eagerly looking for it. And they are willing to take risk for their life or wealth or anything, because they know the value or the cost they are willing to pay. For them, this earth was nothing. This is only a temporary sojourning. They know ultimately this is only a temporary life here. Whatever God has given, enjoy that thankfully. But I am not going to be a permanent person. My citizenship is not on the earth. I will be taken away. And especially people who are willing to pay a cost for the Lord, for their faith, they will be the people especially looking forward for the Lord's coming. We read in Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer any death, there will no longer any mourning, any crying or pain. So people who have, so this is something which is going to happen there. He will wipe away their tears from there. So when I remember, once I meditated a little bit about it, it's written something which we are going to experience is, Jesus is going to wipe away our tears. So I just thought for a moment, Jesus can wipe away tears only if there are tears in our eyes. It need not be necessarily literal tears. So That's a comfort we are going to receive. He is going to wipe away our tears. And they return, there is no longer any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. So people who know the Lord's heart, who are earnest, the thought of the coming of the Lord is a tremendous encouragement and hope. They are looking forward for that glorious day, like David Ring. He could sing, what a glorious day that is going to be. I am anticipating, I am waiting for that. I am eagerly waiting for that. I am preparing myself for that within my best of ability. According to the grace God has given to me, I am anticipating, waiting for that day. God wants our life to be like that. That's why Jesus said, be diligent. Keep yourself ready. And Jesus told exactly which day he will come, we don't know. And we need not know. So God wants us to be ready always, every day. Not only on Sunday, Monday to Saturday. Learning to walk and naturally before God, in faithfully walking in our secret life. That is what God wants us to be. It's my earnest desire for all of us to be living such a glorious life, including me. Not a religious life on Sunday, but all days of the week, learning to walk before God, in the fear of God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here again, after describing about the day of the Lord, about the coming of the Lord, at the end, Paul is concluding in verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another just as you are doing. So in the context of the coming of the day of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, this is something which we all need to do. Encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing. So it's very important that we need to learn to live in reality and looking at our own lives and desire to be there. Does it excite us when we think about the coming of the day? Are we excited for that day? Is there an eagerness for that day? When the Lord is coming, what we read in Matthew 22, when it happened, are we increasingly ready for that event? And are we looking forward with an excitement? I'm eagerly waiting for that day. My whole life is aimed towards that. And David Ring could do that. And it is my desire all of us should have that excitement. And our life is aimed, and we pursue a life of godliness so that we can eagerly say, Lord, I am also excited when I think about your coming. I want to align my life according to your will. I don't want to set my mind on earthly things, but I want to set my mind for things above. I want to orient my life here on earth for eternal purposes. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we call that chapter the heroes of faith. So some of the things written there is for the heroes of faith. Some of the expressions is this world was not worthy for them. This world was not worthy for them. They are looking for something better, a better city made by God, whose architect and whose builder is God. So that is the kind of faith God wants us to have. We are living here, but our mind is not set here. Our mind is for another city, whose builder and whose architect is God. And this world is not worthy for them. And it's written, some of them were sawn into pieces. Some of them wandered around in sheep, in animals' clothes. So many sufferings they are willing to take for their faith. They are willing to be given up by others. They were willing to give up their wealth. So many times of sufferings, cost they were willing to pay. Because they know that this is all temporary. I am looking for something permanent, eternal. So these temporary sufferings and difficulties are nothing. It's nothing to be compared when we think about the glory that is going to happen. God wants us to give such an orientation to our life, dear brothers and sisters. We may not be unknowingly be drifted, be in our cozy, comfortable life, and our mind may be increasingly towards looking downward instead of looking upward. And it's something which we need to, as Paul encouraged Thessalonians, something which we need to challenge ourselves, encouraging one another, building up one another for the future things, what is going to happen. In Second Peter, in the Second Peter also, just a couple of verses I want to read. In the Second Peter, again, it's a wonderful thing to, when you have time, the entire chapter, Second Peter chapter 3, if you have time at home, you can read and reflect some of the things that is going to happen and how we are encouraged to prepare ourselves. As usual, there are, for some people, it is all fun, it is all things to be scorned about, they mock about, that is all happening, even now it's happened. And so that is a reality. And in Peter told, verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. So after describing all this, what is going to come, verse 11, since all these things will be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord? So Peter is encouraging them, if these are reality, if earth and everything is going to be destroyed, and when you see some of the history and the developments in the Middle East and development of many things, atomic bombs and so many, etc., we can little bit intellectuals agree these things written in the Bible are literally, physically it is going to happen, it can happen. So knowing that these things are going to happen, so he is saying that what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness. God wants us a holy conduct. A conduct means a character, a life. It's not just occasional. That is a way of life. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And also looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. This, that word hastening. So I was thinking, is there a hastening in our life? You know, when some good event or something is going to happen, some of our dear ones coming from somewhere, we are eagerly waiting for that. Our heart is hastening towards that. Is there such a hastening in our life when we think about Jesus coming? And verse 14 again. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. So he's saying one of the things, be diligent to be found by Jesus in peace. See, the word uses peace. Opposite of peace is in turmoil, confusion. No, God, Jesus does not want us to see in that such a situation. When Jesus is coming, is he going to see us in peace? Spotless and blameless. Think about it. In peace, spotless and blameless. May God's Spirit work in our lives, and we ourselves give to his hands, that God can work in our life increasingly towards a life where it can be said it is spotless and blameless. And also verse 15, regard the patience of the Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul. So in the earlier verse he was saying, Jesus is coming, we are here in those years and decades, but he is not coming. Why is delaying? The answer is given there. It is because of his patience. is he wanting that all may be saved. That opportunity is there. He is increasingly showing his patience towards us. That is written in verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, and not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So when the delay of the Lord is because he is showing his patience to us, give me a little more day, an extra day to wake up and surrender our lives and allowing God to work in our lives, prepare ourselves, and may God really help us. And the way it is concluded in the chapter is worth giving some attention. In verse 17 and 18 together, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of the unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. This is something which I have thought about and meditated. It's written about a failure, a fall. That fall is not from a sudden fall into some unspeakable sins like adultery or some big manipulation, etc. What is that fall? Falling from your steadfastness. Is it a possibility? Can we fall from our steadfastness? Think about it. Have we fallen from our steadfastness? Probably we had a time when we were zealous for the Lord and we had a steadiness in our life. We were passionate about the Lord and we were willing to pay a price for our faith. We were committed to live a life for the Lord. But have we fallen from that steadfastness? God has blessed us. We have a more comfortable life, and our attention has gone into that blessing which God has given instead of He Himself. Has it happened? Have we fallen from our steadfastness? Probably it has happened to many of us. We can challenge ourselves. Have we fallen from our steadfastness? A steadfastness we used to have at a time. Are we living there, or we have fallen there and living a low-level Christian life? And this is something which we have to wake up and encourage us. Living for the Lord with an interest, with a zeal and a passion. Jesus said when he thought about the temple of God, he said my passion for the zeal for the Lord's house has consumed me. That's what Jesus said. The zeal for the Lord's house has consumed me. And that is the kind of zeal God wants us to have. May the Holy Spirit touch our lives and stir us up and challenge ourselves. Do we really love the Lord? And is there a zeal and a passion? Probably there was a little fire inside me. Is that put off now? Is all dead and lifeless? Is that how inside all darkness, or that flame is still alive? If required, we had to rekindle that flame inside for the Lord. And again in verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a need for increasing, growing in the grace of the Lord, and also in the knowledge of the Lord. These two things. So when you ask about the knowledge of the Lord, increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. If you ask somebody, do you know the Lord? Some people say, they will not hesitate to give a direct answer. I go to church, they will say. Question is, do you know the Lord? I go to church every Sunday. No, my question is, do you know the Lord? No, I have taken water baptism. My question is, do you know the Lord? But no, I participate in the breaking of the bread. So does it happen to us? It's something to challenge ourselves. We may be doing many things. We may be going to church. We may be taking water baptism. We may be participating in the breaking of the bread. But we should ask ourselves, do I know the Lord? And are we growing in the knowledge of the Lord? Those of us who know the Lord, we should be also growing in the knowledge of the Lord. This is something that has not even now. We can ask the Lord, I want to know you. I've been going to church, I've taken water baptism, I've been participating in breaking bread, but Lord, I do not know your Lord. Like Peter honestly admitted, Lord, you know my life. So it's a honesty God will honor. There can be a restart in our life, a new beginning in our life. Learning to give, knowing the Lord. And let there be a new beginning in our life, dear brothers and sisters. And there be an increase in the knowledge of the Lord and also in the grace of the Lord. So I was thought about these two responses about the coming of the Lord. This is a truth which nobody can question. The Lord is going to come. But our response is like the people of Noah, disinterest, passive. I'm not interested in this kind of. Is that our attitude, our response, or we are conscious about our own fallen nature, that we are sunk into a level that time of fire, it has gone, and we are so passive, fallen down. But stir us up. Be diligent for the coming of the day of the Lord. I just want to read one verse in closing. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 34. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with the dissipation and drunkenness and worries of life, and they will come upon you suddenly like a trap. Verse 36 also. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape these things that are about to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. I'm sure our desire is, none of us want to be like the people at the time of Noah. We are going to wake up. We want to be people like, as written in Hebrews 11, people who are willing to pay a price, and knowing that this world is not worthy, and about whom God also, God was proud to say, I am their God. And knowing that we are living our life here on, is a sojourning. We are not to be anchored here. Our citizenship in heaven. We are going to be orient. Our life is going to orient towards that. I'm sure God will stir our lives and rekindle the passion that we had towards the Lord for a godly living. And may it happen. Let a small beginning happen in our life. If it has cooled down, let us stir one another up.
I would like to read a psalm from Psalm 63, verses 1 to 6. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because, here it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. There is always words of praise on the lips. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. As long as I live, I would like to keep on blessing my Lord. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, a joy which is filled within me, within my heart, just to praise the Lord verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Verse 7 also we can read, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wing I will rejoice. There is always joy under the Lord's hand, under his shadow, there is always joy. And as long as I live under the hands of my Lord, the joy will not cease, will not be end. It will overflow. It is the connection what I have with my Lord. And there, as he says, because of your loving kindness, his loving kindness is better than the life. A life which I would, you know, live, and the life which I would experience here on earth, you know, rejoicing and having fellowship with my Lord.
Thank the Lord for the words God spoke to us. It was really challenging, and I could really relate to my life. Whether that what brother spoke, that has there been a slowdown? Has there been a cool down in your life? And it's very true with me. There has been a cool down. That fire that is there for the Lord is really lacking in my life. God was speaking to me one thing, the practical application of what we heard today. One thing that I know that I'm hoping for the day of the Lord is that my attitude to sin will change. It says in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and all its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So if I have a knowledge that the world is passing away and all its lusts, then I will not have these things in my life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the, I will be fleeing from these things in my life. If I see a gradual fleeing away from these things, then I know that I am getting ready towards the coming of the Lord. If I am getting close to those things, if I am still getting more and more close to those lusts, and I'm not really fleeing from those things, then I know that I really need to repent. I need to come back to the place where in my heart, the desire that is there in my heart will be more and more to flee from those lusts, the lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, the things that attract me in this world, that pull me from away from the Father, that takes the love of the Father from my heart. I know those things, and when God shows it to me, is there a real desire, Lord? I want to flee from these things. I don't want to get attracted to those things that will take me away from God. I really need to really check when God shows me. I need to ask God, Lord, save me from these things so that I will be drawing closer to you. And as the verse 17 says, that the one who does the will of God, if I'm really fleeing from the lusts of the lusts that are there, then I need to do the will of God, and those are the people who will live forever. So if I really want to live forever, I need to know what is the will of God and do it. Also in 1 John 3 it says, whoever has this hope in him, in 3:3 it says, 1 John 3:3, whoever has this hope in him, that we will see him as he is, it says in 2. So if I have that hope in God, then I will purify myself every day. Every day, as God shows me small things, he shows me, when some things he shows me in my life, I will be continuously asking God, Lord, save me from this sin, save me from this bad habit, save me from this pride, from this lust, from this unforgiving attitude, from so many things God shows, Lord, then I will always be purifying myself. I will be seeing myself in God's light, and I will be purifying myself. The day I stop purifying myself, the day I know that I am going far from him, I am not ready for his coming. So I need to always check myself, Lord, Is there a hunger to be free from all sin and have the love of God in my heart always towards others? If there is a cool down, I need to repent. I need a repentance, and I need to really come back to that fervent devotion to Jesus. It is not just we just avoid sin. It's a fervent devotion to Jesus that will make us go away from sin. So I really need to have that devotion in my heart continuously, and only God can do it. I ask the Lord to work in me and bring me to a life where I am always devoted to Him.
I'm truly thankful for Lord for what I've heard today. Truly, I really wish, why Lord hasn't given that date of His second coming. For example, if He would have said, 24th of December 2016, I'm going to come. Till 21st of December, I would have done whatever I felt like. And last 2 days, 3 days, I would have, continuously prayed so that I would be taken up. I truly understand, that's the very reason that Lord hasn't said the date or, when He is going to come. Because it's human tendency that we do it at a very large preparation day. It can be correlated with our exams times and all. 1 year for the exams, still we'll enjoy. 1 month, we'll enjoy. Last 2 days, we'll start struggling. We'll start struggling to our studies. The very best example in the Bible of Lord's second coming is, the Lord will come like a thief. I think that's a very best example. Because we never know when a theft can happen to our place, or when a theft can happen to my car, or my house, or anywhere else. But what we can do, we always take precautions. We always take precautions just to avoid the theft. We may put, security sensors or something like that. Same ways, what I feel is we should be always prepared for, Lord's coming. We should be always be in that zeal, be in that readiness. Okay, whenever the Lord will come, He would be, He would be taking us with me. But there is something, is that confidence in me that I have to examine myself? Is there a confidence in me that whenever the Lord will come, will I be taken, will I be chosen? There is a portion in Bible where it says there are two set of people. When one would be taken from the field and one would be kept there. I always consider as two sets of people. One set of the people where Lord will take them, and the second set of people where Lord will just leave them when He is coming back. What happens with me is whenever it is Sunday or something, I will be at a set of people. I will be in the group of people whom Lord would be taking away, taking them with to the heaven. But during my weekdays, during my rest of the days, I go down. I go towards my second category where it truly displays that's something Lord doesn't want me to. He doesn't want me to be in that second set of people where those would be left here. The struggle for my life, the struggle for my the whole godly life, I should be a set of people where God is going to take me. If I consider that thing, then I think, I would be continuously in that zeal and continuously in that struggle that, Lord, I should work so that You take me. If that is the case, then I think we would be, everything comes behind, it would be like I would be hating sin, I won't be doing sin, I won't be doing wrong, because I want to go up, I want to be with my Lord. Everything comes, I would be following, Lord's word, I would be reading God's word. If that zeal of me being in His courts is there in me, I really hope and I pray that, that zeal, that love for my Lord, to go in His courts, to be in His presence, be always there in me. And may Lord help us to, truly be the person to be in His courts. Thank you.
Lord, today I want to share on wisdom and understanding. And it's very helpful that we are doing Tuesday Bible studies. We are getting a deeper understanding what the Bible means. And it's very good that we all are open. Everyone gets to share what he feels, what he understands the Bible. Everyone reads the Bible. We have our own understanding. God speaks to us in various ways. And according to me, what I was always wondering about, what is wisdom, understanding? This is the most basic thing that a Christian thinks. He has heard what God wants us. And God is saying that you should have wisdom and understanding. And if I see in perspective, what is wisdom and what is understanding? Wisdom and understanding are two legs on which a Christian stands. And I was wondering about wisdom and understanding. Then during the Bible studies, we again got to the topic of wisdom and understanding. We are reading the book of Job. If you go to Job 28:28. It is written that Job 28:28. Behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord. Today I was wondering that fear of the Lord is wisdom. And what is the fear of the Lord? So we are discussing understanding and wisdom. And here we are talking about the fear of the Lord. And again I went to Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, same. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But I wanted to know what is the fear of the Lord. And the answer I found it in Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And understanding, it was knowledge of the Holy One. And what knowledge means? Knowledge, again, I was studying it and I got to know that the understanding, knowledge is, in the Bible, it is understanding. And understanding means knowledge is to depart from evil. Here are two parts, wisdom and understanding. One is to hate evil and one is to depart from evil. And I was meditating on it, and just last Sunday, Brother Johnny was sharing about living a holy life. And if we are sharing on evil, departing from evil and hating evil. So I was meditating on what is evil. And the Bible is so clearly telling us about evil. Again, when we'll turn to Galatians 19:20-21. Galatians chapter 5. Your Brother Johnny was sharing last Sunday that everything that we do is not from outside. Whatever we do, it comes from inside. And I want to read from Galatians chapter 5, 19:20-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, curses, envy, murders, drunkenness, libelries, and the like, of which I have told you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, and that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here it is written very plainly that what are the evil things we do? It is all coming from the heart. And I was also meditating, and that after we know that what is evil, so how can we depart from evil? When we come to know that we know what is evil. The second part I got, 1 John 5, 5:16. Here we are reading about the perfect will of God. And what is the perfect will of God? The perfect will of God that we should be delivered from our sins. 1 John 5. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. 14:1, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And Brother Titus has said on 10th April about sin, that when we sin, we are not in God's will. And we should always be in God's will. And Brother Matthew had said one thing about getting delivered from sin. If we come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, First Thessalonians chapter 4, 3-8. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So what I got to know from meditating on this, that we should all depart from sin. That is the most important thing for a Christian. And God is always telling us in his word. If you remember that, most important, God is always telling us, be holy, for I am holy. And as we as Christians, we are always standing on holy ground.